Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's pray. Close your eyes with me. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. We worship, we adore, we bless, and we glorify you. I want to thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for your word for us, to us this morning. I pray that we'll be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving ourselves. May the word of God come and be to us like a mirror, that we'll see ourselves and see how undressed we are. Let us fix the things we need to fix in our lives. Thank you, Father, for blessing our time here together. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, wow, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm glad to be in church this morning. Luke chapter 16, verse 90, the Bible says that Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed and who lived each day in luxury. I said, if you really study your Bible, you understand that when it comes to riches, the Bible doesn't speak in favor of riches. Are you with me? Those who want to be rich, you should go into the Bible and do a study on riches. You see that you will not find positive statements about being rich. James speaks about it. James, in chapter 2, he talks about the fact that the brother who doesn't have much should rejoice because he's exalted. And the one who has money should rather actually be sad because he has been reduced and brought down, humbled. It's like when you have money in the kingdom of God, you are actually nothing. So the Bible says there was a certain rich man. He was splendidly clothed. So watch out when you like splendid clothes. The world will teach us to, you know, wear nice things and go with the fashion and all of that. But you have to be careful. By the way, our skirts, the ladies, our skirts are supposed to be below the knee or on the knee. It's a rule, whether you like it or not. So start changing your skirts that are higher. They must be lower. I say. You didn't say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't say amen.
Amen.
And them fancy dresses that has come, that is way up like a skirt. Go and buy another color and patch it and let it come down. Extend it. We must behave like Christians. The fashion in the church. So people post some funny pictures. Somebody posted something. He said, the church in them days. And you see some old ladies with... And then the church, the new or something from the church. You see people bobby standing out in the church. Front row, where they've scared like that. All their panties showing and bobby. Hey! The church of this year, this time. No, we shouldn't change the church. God will judge us if we change the church. You see, Bishop said something and it's very, very indicting. You see, we in our time and in our season, is that a cry? Wow, what a shock. Sustained shock. Jesus, Bishop said that. You look at it. It's like the time that the PPP were in power,
time that this coalition has come in power. Everybody, whether we like it or not, there are things that are going to judge us that when we were in power, this is what we did and this is what we didn't do. Whether we feel that we are accountable or not, there's always going to be something that we will be assessed on. So, for example, in my time as a pastor of the Lighthouse Church, because a time will come, I won't be here, I won't be the pastor, I'll be in heaven. People, other people will come. Heaven is better than earth. Oh, cry. Why should I be here when a nice house waiting for me in heaven? I don't have to pay rent. I don't have to find a contractor and borrow money from the bank. It's already built for me. Why did I go there? To no GPL, no Guyana water. Yeah, no blackout. Why would I want to go there? You see, so he said something. He said that under our watch, so like as I'm the pastor here, the things I do are going to wait for me when I get to heaven. They will speak to me when I get there. So every one of us, in your time of being a leader or being responsible for something, how are you going to fare? What is your story and your assessment going to be like? So in our time in the 21st century, that we are pastors and we are Christians, what is God going to have against us? Is it going to be our dressing? Is it going to be our so-called mixed love, half-heartedness, or we are going to be judged and assessed by the fact that we were so crazy for the Lord that we'll do anything for God? How is God going to see you and I in the 21st century church? It's something you should think about. When you were asked to lead, what were some of the things you did? Yeah, what were the things you did? Under your watch, what happened? When you were the security man, what happened in the place? The thieves come there? The things get missing? Or everything was intact? You are supposed to be responsible under your watch. What are we doing? You know, so we cannot change the church. The church has been handed over to us. We have now joined the church. The church has been in existence long before we came. Now that we have come inside, what are we doing? Are we going to change the church? Are we going to make the church conform to our standards and our habits? Or we are going to conform to the things of the church? You are quiet. So, before you accuse us and you know get angry with us, you should rather be a leader. And ask yourself this question I'm asking. What would you say under your watch went wrong and what didn't go wrong? Under the watch of the PPP, so much money has gone waste. So much bad things have gone waste. I mean, there's not a single day you open the newspapers that you will not read something that people are discovering. And that happened under the watch of Jagdeo and Ramota and all these goat bite you and goat and bite you people. Under their watch. They can say all kinds of nice things, but the evidence is there to prove the things that happened whilst they were in power. That's why sometimes in some countries, they will jail you. They will jail you. I mean, the Brazilian, Lula da Silva, Brazilian former president, even the one, is it Rousseau or whatever, the one who is on, what's the name? Delma, the one who's on, they want to put something on her. They don't joke at all. Corruption, you will be under your watch. What is going wrong? That's what I'm saying. That as we've come to the church, let us watch these things. Oh no, we say it's your heart, it's not your garment. It's true, but once your heart is affected, your garment must also be affected now. Because once you change, then the way you do your things must also change. Otherwise, the chain cannot be inside and doesn't affect the outside. Any chain that goes on the inside, it affects the outside. You get sick now. Let something affect your body now, a sickness affect you, it will show on you. Yeah. It will show whether you like it or not. You get cancer, your hair will start going away. You can go and put on toupee and wig and all of that. Still. So once our hearts are affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we do on the outside must also be affected. They must look at dresses and shoes and say, no, I don't wear these things. I don't conform. Because when somebody who's not a Christian is wearing and you are wearing, who needs to see the difference? Because we don't have anything to look into the heart. We don't have eyes, scanners for hearts to see that your heart has Jesus and somebody's heart doesn't have Jesus. We don't have those things. All we see is the outward. And the way you comport yourself and carry yourself around outwardly is what tells us who you are. So let us not change the church in our time. Amen. Let us not change it. Let us know that when we were teachers, when we were helpers, when we were shepherds in the church, then the church changed in the way we dress. Then the church changed in the way we are dedicated and devoted to the church. Then the church changed because we don't talk to people about Christ. We like ourselves, only blessings and magic we want in the church. The church has turned into magic. During our time, what do we expect from the Lord? Do we expect anything, or we are supposed to do something for the Lord? The church nowadays expects everything from God without giving anything in return. When God doesn't owe us anything, we rather owe him even our lives. Are you there? So the Bible says there was a man, a certain rich man, he was splendidly clothed and who lived each day in luxury. Each day in luxury. The next verse says that at his door, right at his door, lay a diseased beggar named Lazarus. A diseased beggar named Lazarus. The man was eating sumptuously. King James says sumptuously. And right at his door was a beggar. Again, like I'm saying, it is an indictment. When I say indictment, it is a verdict. It's a judgment on the rich man as he's rich. And right in front of his gate lies a poor man. So the question will be asked, when you possess a lot of money, what did you do with it? It's not that there are people who are poor who are very far away from you, right at your gate. It means that you were so rich that your money could not even affect up to your gate. It only affected the house where you're in. It didn't go beyond your gate. And you answer for that. You answer for that. You see, real Christianity here. Real Christianity also involves taking care of the fatherless and the homeless. Yeah. Because if you look at our lives are only with us. I'm preaching about others. You hardly see a stranger living with you. You hardly see a stranger living with you. If you have a stranger living with you, the stranger wouldn't survive. Because you see that from people who have a few rooms in their house or have a few more space and they rent out part of their house. And the way they deal with people who rent houses, it's like, hey, even these people who are staying here and paying you rent, you can't even give them peace. How much more somebody staying there and not paying any rent? At his door lay a diseased beggar. His money could have helped this guy. His money could have helped taking this guy to America to find medical attention for this diseased guy. And he was known as a beggar, Lazarus. But it's interesting. Stay there, sweetie. It's interesting. If you look at verse 19, the Bible says he was a certain rich man. His name was not even mentioned. And you go to verse 20. The name of the poor man was mentioned. Wow. Think about it very deeply. The one who was rich, his name wasn't even important. The one who was poor, rather, his name is written right there. And it's very, very significant when you are referred to by your name and when you are just saying, hey, watch, hello, watch, ooh, yeah, hi. No, it's like, what's this? I said, hi, Everett. And I said, hello. I said, yeah, you. You, yes, you. He said, people are looking at each other. I said, like, who's he talking about? As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, scraps. You think this guy couldn't afford a proper meal for this guy? Scraps? Scraps? Hey, we are very selfish, you know.
We don't think about others at all. The dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died. You see, so there was a period where the rich man was responsible for the wealth he gained. The time he was rich, that time was going to be translated into heaven for him to give account of the time and what he did with the resources he had. So yes, the time came, the beggar died and was carried by angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to tell others that when two particular people die, they go in a different way. I said, God wants us to tell others, Jalan Evans, that two people can die and they will go differently. Many people don't understand that. That when you die, you go different. When you die, there's a particular way you go. This verse is telling us how people go. And I'm telling you that you will die. You better die and be carried by angels rather than die and be buried. Others need to hear this. People need to hear this. That it doesn't matter whether you're a beggar or not, but there's a kind of death that when you die, the Bible says the angels. You see, it's like entering a country and then there's nobody to meet you at the airport. And then you don't even enter the country at all. The beggar, even though he was a beggar, even though he had sores, even though he lacked a lot of things, he was secured eternally. So when he died, the Bible says that there was a motorcade of angels that came to the airport. You see, when he traveled from earth into eternity, at the gates of eternity, he was so important that he was received by two diplomats. Angels came and they carried him into eternity. People need to know. People think that everybody dies the same way. No, no, no. You can die. You can be at Sandis. You can die. They'll bring you to the church. They can cremate you and all kinds of things they'll do to you. But there's something that happens in the spirit when you die. One is buried. Actually, no action really. No, the person is buried. And one is carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. I pray that you'll be carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. I said, you need to tell others also, Odell. That is why we're encouraging you to become a preacher, so that you will tell others properly what happens to them when they die. People need to know what happens when they die. People need to know. Apart from your destination, there's a way you get to your destination. When I travel as a pastor, I've been so blessed to be part of Lighthouse Chapel International. The countries that I go in and we have churches there, I don't have a problem at all. All I have to do is just tell the person in charge of the churches, I'm coming. Car will be waiting for me. Chauffeur will be there ready. The driver will take me wherever I want to go. And when I'm ready to return to my country, I will be chauffeured also. In fact, I can get a free place to sleep. I can get free food to eat. And when I'm coming, I'll even get free money to also bring along. What a blessing it is. Others need to know. Their neighbors, their colleagues at work, their students, your friends, they need to know that when people die, something happens when two people die. You either are carried by angels or you're buried. The next verse says, verse 23, and the rich man's soul went to the place of the dead. Two different scenarios. Lazarus dies. He's carried by angels. His destination is Abraham's bosom. The rich man died. His destination is the place of the dead. You must know, ladies and gentlemen, that when somebody dies, there are two places that a person can go. It's either here or there. The place of the dead or into Abraham's bosom. Remember Jesus on the cross, on Calvary's mountain, Jesus told the thief
who said, I am a sinner. Please remember me when you come in your glory. Jesus promised the guy paradise. He said, surely you shall be with me today in paradise. The other guy wasn't promised paradise. It means that if this one is going to paradise, the other one won't go to paradise. Just like the rich man and Lazarus, this one will go on the left, the other one will go on the right. The Bible says that there's a wide, a broad way and a wide gate, and there's a narrow way and a small gate. There are two roads, there are two ways all the time. We need people to hear this message that there are two ways. You choose here. You see, no matter what you do, you can't say you won't choose. If you don't choose, it will be chosen for you by the way you live your life. It will be chosen for you automatically. The Bible says he so went to the place of the dead. There, the place of the dead, there in torment, he saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. You see, you think that when you are dead, you are dead. No. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus telling us clearly. You see, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. One thing that you can learn from there is that Jesus knows exactly what happens when people die. Because he was there. So he came down on earth, and in his teachings and in his works, he chipped this one in here that people die and they go to a place where they go through torment. Don't think that when you die, that's the end of it. When you die, the Bible says, how many of us believe the Bible? Are you sure you believe in the scriptures? Let's go back there, Becky. There's a place where you'll be in torment. He saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. The rich man shouted. I thought he was dead. How can you shout when you are dead? How can you shout? Tell me. Samuel, we buried Samuel's father on Friday. Samuel's father was in the coffin. He couldn't say anything. But little do we know that the man lying down in the coffin is not the man, it's the body that is there. The soul has transferred and translated into eternity. Thank you, Sammy. So the man is lying down, that you think is the man, it's his body. It is the container he used while he was here on earth. It is the house that he was renting while he was here on earth. The real person has moved out. Long time, he's moved on. So when he moved on, the rich man found himself somewhere and he began to shout. He began to shout. He said, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Ladies and gentlemen, many people are out there who are going to go and burn in hell. Jesus wants us to warn those people and to tell those people that they better don't go to that place. Think about those people. There are others who are going to go the same way like this rich man. If only you and I will rise up and tell them. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in anguish in these flames. It's very interesting when you see that this is clearly, ladies and gentlemen, this is clearly what will happen when you die. The rich man, he identified Lazarus. We will know each other. That is why we say that when you die, your soul and your spirit, they move together. Your body, you leave it here. But your soul, your consciousness, your emotional part, your feelings, and all of that, you take it with your spirit with you. That's how come the guy was in fire and he was feeling the heat. Because your soul is there. Your soul is where your emotions come. Your feelings come from your emotions. And your mind is also part of your soul. That's how come the rich man also identified Lazarus. Somehow he knew Abraham. I don't know where he knew Abraham from. Abraham wasn't around when he was around. He said, send Lazarus to come. But Abraham said to him, son, remember, during your lifetime, that's exactly what I'm saying, your lifetime, the period you were given to be in charge of something. Remember, you see the reference, remember your lifetime. Remember the time when you were living in Guyana. Remember when you used to, the church was around you. You see the church. People used to call you to church. People used to invite you to church. Remember your lifetime. It is that same period that is being brought up.
in your face. The same opportunities you had, the same season you lived, the same time that you had on you, the same time is what is being brought before you at Tina Ennis. The same time, how you manage it, what you did with the time, is the same thing that will come up against you. You don't make better use of this time here. And let this time pass. You will stand before God. The same time, he said, remember in your lifetime, you had everything you wanted. That's why you didn't think about anybody. The mistake was that you had everything you needed. You had all that you wanted. And so we don't care about anybody. It's your life, it's you. And once you are okay, that's it. Nobody should get anything. Nobody should be experiencing anything. Somebody close to you can't hear the gospel because it's more than enough for you. Children, Julia, Quincy, Jelena, Shante, that's why you are here. You can't keep your mouth shut in school. You must talk about Jesus in your schools. Don't become like these big people who don't say anything about Jesus. They go to the school. Nobody knows that they go to church. Until the pastor goes to the school and says, he's come to your church. You say, yes. Oh, you got to pray for she needs prayers. Meanwhile, this person has been coming to church for years. Even the teachers now are saying the person needs prayers. It's too fantastic. It's like the person has not been to church before. Because when you go into the schools, you don't show that you're a Christian. You go and join a whole bandwagon of idiots. Yeah. Quincy, Breakdown Secondary. You've got to know who you are going to choose as your friend. You didn't go to Breakdown for a friend. You went there to study. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You didn't go there to get a friend. And then when you were a friend and break time, you say, bye, follow me here to this corner here. And then you follow the person to the corner, not only he's going to do something bad. Innocently, you are carried along to be part of somebody's sins. Yeah. We must use this time we have properly. Properly. You see, and the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. If it's 20 years, you probably are halfway through your 20 years. It is clicking. The time that God has given us is the same time God is going to bring up the thing like that. He's going to raise up. When you get to heaven, he'll bring up the time like this and say, hey, in your face, look at your time right there. Show me what you did with the time I gave you. And before God, you can't make any excuse because even the countenance, his appearance alone is very scary. All you say is that, I am wrong. So if you are wrong, this is where wrong people go. A lifetime. You had everything you wanted. And Lazarus had nothing. So now, he's here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm or there's a great space separating us. I pity those who don't want to preach. I pity you. I said, I pity all you young people who don't want to preach now. I pity you that you don't want to give your life wholeheartedly to the preaching of the gospel. I pity you. Because this, your lifetime, is going to stand up back in front of your face. Don't tell me nonsense about parents. Jesus said it. That if you are going to be my disciple, you will have to hate mother, brother, and sister. You just don't want to pay the price. You don't want to sacrifice anything. One big boy, he's over 20 years old, called me yesterday, said, my parents said that if I go to Bible school, I'm an outcast from that day. I said, so what do you say? You are a big boy, what do you say? What do you say? Don't come and tell me something. I can't put nothing into your mouth. You must know what you want. Jesus said it, that they will become your enemies. Why are you fighting it when it comes up? Why are you afraid? Why can you not stand to it? We want the blessings. We want the blessings. We want the promotions. We want the things. But when it comes to suffering, we don't want to suffer. I said, you are big. You are about 26 or something years old. You are calling me to tell me that your mother says you'll be an outcast. Your problem is that 26 years old, you are still living with your parents. That's why. Me brother telling me that I coming home late. There are teenagers here who go home late. The parents don't say anything. You're a big boy like you. You tell me, what should I do? I can only do my, I can only encourage you. Your lifetime is going to shoot up in front of you. I said, your lifetime is going to shoot up in front of you. You watch and see. You sit down and see. You sit down. Your lifetime is going to bring up like that right in front of your face. You don't give yourself to others and do things that God wants us to do. You sit down there and not do it. It's going to come up. It's going to come up. In your lifetime. In your lifetime. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Your lifetime. Some of us don't even know that your lifetime, you have about 2 months left. You don't even know. You don't even know that you have about 2 months left. If only you know it, they had 2 months left. You say, I want to go to Bible school this morning. And come back tomorrow to start preaching before I die in 2 months' time. Because we get what we want, so we forget. We become selfish. We think about ourselves alone. God wants us. You see, when you think about others, you give yourself. You have to sow yourself as a seed to others. Ah, the scripture is right there. Becky, let's go to where we are. We are. Ah. What does it say? It says, there's a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here is stopped at its edge. You can't cross. The way you live your life does not merit you, does not give you the visa to cross. You see, one bishop asked me or told him to come to Guyana. I said yes. But when I thought about it, I said, listen, if I say I love God, I should be able to do anything that God wants me to do. Simple logic. If you love somebody, stand up. Where's your husband? Your husband doesn't come to church. But you married him. You have three pickings with him. And every day you lie down like dog, things happen. You love it. You love him. And therefore you do it. Yeah. It's logical. If you love somebody, you do what the person says you must do. So if you and I really love Jesus, I say, if you and I really, really love Jesus, Prince, if you love me, really, really love me, you will feed my sheep. You will go where I ask you to go. There will not be any excuse. Anybody who loves you will do whatever you ask them to do. We are not fools. We are not children. We know it. If you love somebody. When I wasn't a Christian, I had a girlfriend. I would thief money for she. I'll thief. I don't even care about you don't even care about what will happen when your parents find out. You just thief. Because you are foolishly in love. We do all kinds of people, you know. Some people become cocaine traffickers because their boyfriends or girlfriends get them into it. They traffic, they put cocaine inside their tanks and they go over the border with their face like that. That's because somebody who says they love them, who cannot die for them, tells them you must take this thing across the border. You love somebody, you do what I ask you to do. I said, if I love God, why shouldn't I be able to go somewhere else that I don't know? I don't know what is awaiting me. I don't know what is there. But I am going to go because I love Jesus. What are you going to do because you love Jesus? What are you going to do because you love Jesus? You love yourself. You love yourself. You love yourself. You can't cross over. Thank you, my dear. You can't cross over. 27. We are ending. Then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, send him to my father's home. I know of some people who are in line about to enter through the door I entered through. He now, even the one who is now suffering because of reality, he began to think about others. Others. in suffering that he's supposed to think about himself. Now he realized, he said, send him. Yeah, I know, my father's house, I have brothers who have studied and their brains have turned around. They said there's no God. They said it's illiterates who go to church. They said church is for girls, church is for women, as church is for people, this, the pastor, this, the church, all kinds of things. He said, I know people like that. If you go to the side, I have five brothers. The man began to think of his brothers. I think he should be commended for thinking about his brothers. This is real love. That you are going into this place, or you are begging that somebody goes and warns your five other brothers. He doesn't want to have any family reunion in hell. I'm sure it was some of us. You know what? Well, let them try there. They will come here. If they come here, it's their business. He's fighting. He's pleading with Abraham. He said, I have five brothers. I want him to warn them about this place of torment so they won't have to come here when they die. Because when you die, it's a place of torment for you to go. People need to hear this. Ashanti, when you turn 22 and so what? With the wells, you stop because you've turned 22? What about others who don't even get a chance to even celebrate their birthday? What about them? You are alive. What about you? What about them? What about others? What about others? The rich man, even in all his torment, came to the realization, this is not a good place for anybody to come to. This is not a good place for anybody to come to. You and I, God is depending on you and I to tell others, there's heaven, there's hell. There are two roads. One is right in the cemetery. You realize that you are in torment. One is a diplomatic escort by angels into Abraham's bosom. A rich man is crying out. He has brothers. Lazarus can't come back. You and I are here. You and I are here. God is looking at our lifetime also. It's very interesting. Very interesting. You see, if you wear the shoes I wear, you can see how human beings are wicked. When you bring church business, it is not respected. Even this gentleman who's saying the parents are saying whatever, if the church was giving him a scholarship to go and do medicine, the parents will come and say, Pastor, I'm coming to thank you. I'm coming to thank you for giving my son a scholarship to go and study dendrology. That's what they will say. But for the church to give them a scholarship, for them to go to Bible seminary and become preachers, it's like a very despised profession. Yeah. Despised profession. But let me tell you, the Bible says that the stone that the builders rejected, it is the same stone that you need to build your foundation. The head of the cornerstone, it will always be rejected. It will always remain the head of the corner. I tell you. You only realize after you build your house, and when it's shaking, and when it crumbles, that you despised the cornerstone. You despise the Ancient of Days and the Rock of Ages. The one who can make foundation solid. You will realize after all the hard work, when your house crumbles, when your life is shattered apart, when you've gone to do all kinds of foolish things that has gotten you to trouble, now you're looking for God. And at that time, there won't be any magic. Because God is not a magician. Today is our day. Our time is now to think about other people, to heed the call of the preaching of the gospel and look at others. Look at you. I said, your lifetime. We have used our lifetime to come to you, you know. We have used our, Mary, we use our lifetime to come here to preach to these people. What are they doing in their lifetime? What are you doing in your lifetime? You got grade 1, grade 2 in DCXE. So you are who? You are what? When you get to the gates of eternity, they should open the gate and say, oh, Mr. Bond, you got distinction. And you went to what? You want to go? We don't take CXE to heaven. Even is it yesterday after the baptism, you know, I felt like walking. So we walked, a group of us, we walked to Sophia, Afield Sophia from Brownsville. And as we're going, we passed this American school, international school in Prashatnagar. And then, you know, people were asking a few questions. I said, somebody asked if they do CXE. I said, CS what? American ambassador's son will not come to Guyana to do CXE. Because maybe after his time here, he's moving to Singapore to become the next ambassador. If he takes CXE, then they'll say, CX what? So the school they go to, they do international level, ordinary level, advanced level, degrees, I mean, the diplomas and end exams that are internationally recognized. Not CXE. Your CXE paper, your UG paper that you are fighting for, international management, international relations management, political science, sociology, all them fancy things that you want. The moment you die, even when you go to America, they will not accept it. How much more eternity? You sit down. Your lifetime. The clock is ticking. Tick. 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 Very soon it will come to an end. God is going to judge and question you about what you did with your lifetime. Whether you looked into yourself, splendidly clothed, ate sumptuously, or you cared about others outside your gate. Sometimes if the person is not in our household, we don't care about them. If the person is not outside your town, you don't care about them. If the person is not outside, if the person is outside your country, you don't think about them. We are so in looking. I laugh when people tell me, go back to your country. What are you doing in our country? I laugh. I see that I've met another ignorant person here. Go to my country. Which country? The only country I have is heaven. You want to go with me to my country in heaven, I tell you. If you knew who you were talking to. You better change your citizenship and let's go to heaven. Rather than walking around here on earth and trying to claim a part of the earth that one day, even if you hold on to the earth and tell death, me ain't going nowhere. Death will smile. Ha 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 ha. You joking. You are a joker. I've never met a clown like you before. We're going tonight. Before you realize you've crossed over to eternity. Stand to your feet, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. 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 Kebros, kebeledes. Others. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to us even after we've left. Continue to minister to us about others. About others. Others are right outside our gate. Don't have food to eat. Don't have anywhere to go. Don't know about the cross and the blood that was shed. Don't know about salvation. Others are out there. May we be obedient children and do what you have called us to do. May we begin, oh God, to look outside ourselves and outside what we have made into our world. May we do as you've called us to do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.